Hey, everybody, don't forget Priest Ranch Wines. The tasting room is open in Yountville. Ron Wotus was up there a couple of weeks ago, and the Cabernet Sauvignon is here from 2018. It is here and ready to go. Great delivery options. Check it out. Info at PriestRanchWines.com. Priest Ranch Wines. Nothing better. Hey, we're joined by one of my hosts, co-hosts on Weekends in the Park, and I love being on with this guy when I wake up early. He's the first guy I listen to during the day, and that is Adam Copeland. Adam, how are you?
Marty, it's good to hear you. It's good to hear your voice. We haven't gotten a chance to talk any ball. I know there hasn't been any ball, but I'm out of whack, man. We should be sitting on the patio. You know, this is one of those days where we'd be out there hanging out and talking baseball, and who knows who'd be rolling through, and there'd be Tom and Jill and the crew would be out there. But no, it's been an out of whack year, man. I miss hanging out, Marty.
Yeah, it has been something, and I'm not sure how it's going to play out, even if there is baseball, and it's very doubtful now. You and I will chat about it in a minute with what's going on in the country health-wise and COVID-wise and spring training 2.0 and how they're going to pull this thing off. I'm not so sure that we would even be out there for Weekends in the Park. So there's a long road ahead of us here in baseball, and I'm not sure exactly where it's going. But you've been very busy, and, of course, we hear you in the morning on the leadoff show that 5 o'clock when you're on, and, of course, then with Murph and Mac. But a lot of things happening in your life, and you had a big day today.
We had a protest today, Marty, a Black Lives Matter-inspired protest. A couple of my best friends who I grew up with over in San Leandro in the East Bay and went to high school with and played baseball and basketball with, they're big parts of the basketball community, and they wanted to, in sort of a sports push, put on a protest from the basketball community, inspired by the comments that were made on a specific show a couple of years ago, which was Shut Up and Dribble to LeBron James and Kevin Durant. And so they viewed that as a very dividing statement and wanted people to have an opportunity to say that, you know, people who play basketball and people who are artists and musicians are not just those things. They are people first, especially if you're an African-American person. It's important to note that. So they wanted to have a Speak Up and Dribble protest. It was a peaceful protest, a very inspiring thing, and I got an opportunity to share my thoughts and speak my mind. And so this was as you mentioned, it's a tense time in the country. I read a comment that you had given, or an interview that you did actually with The Athletic, and you spoke very cognizantly on it and very candidly on it. And I thought what you had to say was great, Marty. And, you know, I think it's important that we just continue to say this stuff and continue to talk about it, because if we don't talk about it, then it goes away and the problem continues. So I'm honored and thrilled to have an opportunity to share my voice and to have KNBR give me an opportunity to share my voice as well.
Well, it's terrific. As I said, Adam Copeland with us on this Father's Day weekend. There's no turning back. And I've been part of the criminal justice system for 25 years, and I saw it every single day. And I fought the fight from 1970 to 1995. So I know what the fight is all about. And I've said it before, you know, baseball after World War II was the only, really the major team sport at that point. And it did, and it did take the lead in social integration and on the baseball field with Jackie Robinson and things like that. But there's such a long way to go. How do you think baseball is going to react to Black Lives Matter, to what went on over this period of time before baseball will even come back, and the fact that, you know, really baseball has slowed down quite a bit in the African community, African American community?
Well, I think, and it's I don't think it's insensitive to talk about the labor discussions that are happening in relation to this, because when it does come back, that's impactful. I was on with John Lund a couple of weeks ago, and we interviewed Buster Olney, and I said, you know, we missed a major holiday in baseball, which is Jackie Robinson Day, mm-hmm. and how does baseball make up for that? You know what I mean? If and when they come back, there's got to be some honoring of that, especially in light of what's happening in the country. But as far as like socially what they do or how they help fight this injustice, the fact that there are so few African Americans in the game now, it makes it a little bit more difficult, because you don't want to put African Americans on a stage and just say, well, here you go, you're the face of this movement, Lorenzo Cain, because you're one of the few African Americans, or Tim Anderson. I think what we have to do is continue to encourage programs in communities like reviving baseball in the inner city, like opening up fields and encouraging youth people of color in the country to continue to play baseball, because globally we see it. We see it in the sandlots of the Dominican Republic and in Puerto Rico and Venezuela. Those countries are, you know, baseball is bigger than soccer. And in most Spanish-speaking countries, soccer is the sport, and you can play it almost anywhere. But in this country, baseball has got to do a better job, because, Marty, I think if we went through the – and you guys, you and I have done it. You go through a list of the all-time greats in the modern game, you know, post-World War II, like you're talking about, you can make a case that some of the best, if not the best players of all time, are African-Americans, right? I mean, the Babe Ruth's home run record has been broken by two African-Americans. You had Willie Mays, who, had he not gone to fight in a war, probably would have done it himself. So it's got a very rich black history. The Negro Leagues is obviously something that's very special to baseball history. And I think baseball's got to do a bigger job of embracing it and making it part of the current culture.
No, I agree with that. And as Jackie Robinson said in 1972, when he was at the World Series before he passed away, shortly thereafter, he won't be satisfied until he sees a black face in the coach's box at third base or in the manager's spot in the dugout. And we'll expand it really to ownership and general managers and just the full integration of baseball, because it has been a white sport. And Adam Jones said it a while ago. So my point on baseball is very unique. And it's always had that chance to say, well, between the lines, everything is equal. Well, between the lines, it may be equal, but around the game, it's not equal. And that's what's got to change. And I think what we're going through in this past 3-4 months has really highlighted it. And I say there's no turning back.
Yeah, and that kind of brings us back to what we were just saying about the, you know, the speak up and dribble versus the shut up and dribble thing, because that statement is sort of a dividing, right? You're saying it's all equal between the lines. Well, that's great, but when the game ends, then what happens? What happens to these scouts? And as you're saying, you go up through the ranks. Theo Epstein had some really good comments, I thought, very aware of what's going on, when he said, you know, I look around at my scouting department and at the guys that I hire, and I've been guilty of that. He said, it's a lot of people that look like me, and it's kind of a cookie cutter thing. And I'm okay with you saying, hey, I didn't understand what the problem was before, and it's time to figure out a way to make this different or a way to make this change, because there are so many things that African Americans and different colors and creeds, and we're up to the level of women in baseball. We need more female executives in the game, and we've seen that. The Giants interviewed, was it Kim Ng they interviewed a couple of years ago for the president of baseball operations job before they hired Farhan? And there are people that are not white men that have a lot to add and a lot to bring. And when you mix that stuff in, and when you add it into a melting pot like we've got in the Bay Area, you can get a lot of really brilliant, brilliant things happening. And I think baseball needs to make that change and embrace that.
Very well said. Yeah, I agree with you. Let's talk a little bit Giants baseball here. Do you think we're going to have it, number one? I know with Arizona and Florida being shut down and deep cleaning it and all the spring training sites and all that. I just think there are just so many pitfalls ahead. How do you feel about it?
You know, until yesterday, it seemed like maybe in all this last couple of weeks, it was like the COVID-19 stuff had sort of gone to the back burner, and because of everything we were just talking about. And so, like, the baseball negotiations seemed like they came back to the forefront. We got the back and forths. We got the sit down with Manfred and Tony Clark. We got the draft a couple of weeks ago. So it seemed like, okay, maybe we're picking up steam, and we'd sort of, I don't want to say forgotten about the coronavirus, but it seemed like maybe it was going to subdue itself for long enough for them to play baseball, or to, you know, the NBA is going to do the bubble city type thing, same with the MLS. But then yesterday, then we got this wave where it seemed, it felt very similar to 3 months ago, Marty. Remember, like, every day it was, oh, Tom Hanks has got it, and Rudy Gobert's got it, and then there was a Von Miller got it in the NFL. It seemed like every day we were getting news about somebody else getting it. There were so many different questions, and then different things started shutting down. The fact that there's so much concern about the second wave, and the fact that we're seeing spikes in multiple states, and I know that has to do with the amount of testing, but it's also showing you how prevalent the virus still is. I'm really, really skeptical, because, I mean, I don't know how you're going to get that many people. They're saying expanded rosters now, and you're gonna add more people into one facility. How many coaches do the Giants have? Like 25 different people are on the Giants coaching staff now. So we're talking like 50 people, 60 people, and travel. And even if you're doing spring training in your own stadium, I'm I'm hopeful, but I'm very skeptical. And it's not as much about the negotiations as it is about the health risks now that seem like they're coming back.
I think you're right. I think that's where we are right now. And, you know, our good friend Barry Bloom has been on the show for the last couple of months. He said this from day one, and I sort of adopted it in early May as well. I said, you know, we can do everything we want about negotiations, but the country and the health of the country will decide what's going to go on with baseball. Adam Copeland with us. Adam, about the Giants draft and, I don't know, just the minor league system. How do you feel about, are you optimistic about what could be ahead for the Giants whenever baseball does come back?
You know, it's kind of funny, like with the expanded rosters, if you look at who the Giants like starting nine would be, or maybe even who the top 15 players or 20 players on the roster would be, they may not compete or hold up with the Dodgers or the Phillies roster or some of the good teams in the National League, some of the better teams in the National League. But once you get past the top players that are kind of held down or bogged down by contract right now on the veteran players, I feel like the Giants system of up and coming young talent is going to be on par with the rest of the league. I'm in on Hunter Bishop. I'm in on Joey Bard and on Elliot Ramos. And Sean Jelly had a great showing last season. And now this new crop of young players that Farhan's bringing in, I felt pretty good about the way the draft went. No, it was different than we've seen in the past, but clearly they were, and you hear Farhan talk about it. They were looking towards the future of what a roster could look like. He talks about teams carrying three catchers and potentially two catchers that are playing every day because guys have to play multiple positions. So it feels like the Giants are kind of catching up to where the modern game is going or where they perceive the roster structure to be going. And that's why I think they go and they make a move for a guy like Pat Bailey. You got to take the best possible player. And if we are moving towards a universal DH, you got to have some bats that are coming up through the system. So I'm encouraged. I think the pitching is where we're a little, we're looking out for stuff and we're saying, hey, where's the pitching that's coming through the system? But, and you're always going to need pitching, but I've also always been a believer that if you have enough talent in your minor league system, once you need to make that push or make that run, you can go trade for veteran pitching at the major league level. That happens almost every year.
Yeah, I'm very optimistic about it. I really am, and I don't know what's going to happen here. If there is a 60-game season, if they could squeeze that in, it sounds like they're running out of time now with the latest issues in spring training in Florida and California and certainly Arizona shutting down. It's going to be tough to get in more than that many games. But I'm very optimistic about the Giants, I want to tell you. And in a 60-game season, heck, you know, you could have a repeat of 2016 where they go out and get 20 games over 500 in the first 60.
Yes, if you play a 60-game season, I mean, there was a stat going around or a note going around about how the Nationals started last year. I think they, in a 60-game season, they wouldn't have made the playoffs. They would have been one of the bottom teams in the National League, right? I mean, you think about the month of July the Giants had. A 60-game season benefits a team like the Giants, right? I would be encouraged. I would be all in on it, maybe because it'd be baseball. But for a team like the Dodgers, winning that in quotations, World Series might not mean as much. For a team like the Giants, who weren't really expected to be in the mix this year, that could be a lot of fun. I'd be intrigued.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I say it every – I'm glad you're on with me, and you've done a tremendous job, and your voice is very loud and clear, and it's needed in the community, so I'm very happy to have you on. But, you know, we go through this stuff, and you just don't know where we're going to be. You just don't know where we're going to be, and I guess we're just going to have to go. As I say on the show, by next Saturday, I'll tell you where we are. And I get to Saturday, and I still don't know where we are.
Yeah, we'll talk again next Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah, we may not know by next Saturday. So we'll see what happens. But health is most important, so we'll see where that goes. Hey, thanks for being on, as always. And, you know, the weekends in the park with Allie and Carmen and you and me, and it's a family, and we've had so much fun with it. And if baseball does get back, and who knows what form it's going to be or what we'll have at the ballpark, but one of these years we'll be back out there again. And look, even if we get going and we're not weekends in the park, you'll be on with me often, you know, just for pregame shows. Hopefully we'll be doing that as well. So who knows what's ahead.
Absolutely. I'll keep my phone on, Marty. Give me a call whenever. I love talking ball with you, man.
All right. We'll see. Adam Copeland. Thanks, Adam. Oh, by the way, Father's Day message for Dad?
Oh, Dad, happy Father's Day. I love you. Well, I guess I'm going to talk to him, right? I'll do a FaceTime with him. But if he happens to be listening to that, I love you, Dad. And too bad we can't be barbecuing. That's the Father's Day thing, right? Get out and flip some dogs or some steaks, and that's his big thing. But I love you. Happy Father's Day, Dad.
All right. Take care. All right, Adam, thanks so much. All right, more coming up. KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.